Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin the 16th Shir, a Shir for Women. We're in the fourth PDF of Leket Rishimais. And over here, the concept will be that to have a betachin combined with the prayer, that when a person does anything in life, they do it together with having faith in Hashem that He will help you do it. To connect your deeds with betachin, the same applies with prayer. When you work very hard on your prayers with all your strength, with all your concentration, at the very same time, to have trust in Hashem that He will fulfill your tefillos and He is listening. Betach b'Hashem, trust in Hashem, v'asei tov and do good. You do everything you can, but within what you do, to have betach in Hashem that He will give you success. By Yosef, it's brought down, Baruch Hagev Asher Yiftach b'Hashem, he had betachin, but there was still a taina on him that he was mishtadl, he did extra effort, asking the Sar HaMashkim to remind Pare to redeem him. And the question arises when they criticized Yosef. He said, Zachar Sechskatani twice, and he was added 2 years to his prison sentence. Question is, this shtadlus is required. So what did Yosef really do wrong? Yaakov himself did his shtadlus when he was preparing for Esav. He prepared with prayer. He prepared with presence. He prepared with preparation, possible war. So Rav Nosson said in the name of Rav Chaim Vital that the difference was as follows, that by Yaakov Avinu, he prayed and he did his shtadlus and it was as one. At the time he was doing the shtadlus, he was also praying. Yosef, pointed Rav Chaim Vital, it was separate. He prayed, but then he did shtadlus as a separate act. He didn't combine the two. And this is what we need to do, is to combine the two. Whatever shtadlus we do is combined with prayer. And whatever prayer we do, we combine with bitachin, with trusting Hashem. Shimon and Levi, you see this, that they had this Mila. They went to Shechem to kill the city for what they did wrong. Vayavayu ala ir betach. Betach means that they went with betachin. That faith, they knew they needed to do this, and they had betachin and Hashem to succeed. Yehuda, same idea. The Medrash says, he says, go see how many streets there are in Mitzrayim. Major marketplaces, he said there were 12 of them, 12 major ones, and he said there were 10 Shvatim that were there then, each one will destroy one, I'll destroy three of them. Yehuda basically promised Yaakov Avinu he will bring Binyamin back safely, and he was ready to wipe out Mitzrayim to bring Binyamin back to his father, so he did his shtadlus with the betachin. Because of our forefathers that trusted you. Doesn't mean that you have betachin and then go to sleep. You're with betachin, you have to learn Torah, you have to do mitzvahs, you have to do maisim tovim, you have to pray. But together with that, you have that betachin. It's like planting seeds. And over time, you will see hatzlacha if you continue to do it that way. The next lesson in this handout, Amispal al Chaveiro, to pray for others. You see here that Sodom was overturned, five cities, Sodom, Amora, Adma, Tzvoim, and Tzoyar. At the end, Tzoyar was saved. Lot went there. He davened that it shouldn't be destroyed. Imolta Nashama, let me escape there. Halim Mitzahi, it's a small city, Schinashi, let me survive. And don't turn over that place, Tzoyar. And Hashem listened and saved that place, the entire place in Hizchus. The question is, Avram davened and he didn't get answered. How did Lot's tefillah get answered? So Rav Nosson, the Mashgiach, said that the truth is Lot also had the tzirah for the Tzchus of Avram Avinu, but because Lot was the one that was involved right now, he was Negev Bedavar, no one else could daven for him. He was the one that needed to be saved. That's why Hashem listened to him. And that's a lesson to us. If we're in the middle of any situation, we daven to Hashem, Hashem will listen to us because we're in the situation. Hashem wants us to turn to Him, and Hashem listens. The idea also is that if you pray for someone else and you need that thing, you'll be answered first. Moshe was always worried about Klal Yisrael. He was the Raya Neman. We learn for him as a prototype to think about Klal Yisrael all the time. And he kept on praying and defending Klal Yisrael. We have to follow his footsteps. So we finished what we needed to do with this handout, and we're going to turn to Rav Tversky, where he talks about davening. Now, women have bina yesera, which means they have an additional intellectual and emotional intelligence beyond what men have. Therefore, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to tefillah, which is referred to avoda shebalev, it's the service of the heart. So women have a special gift of tefillah, being touched with it, being connected with it beyond what men have. A young man complained to Reb Mendel Katz saying he wasn't able to concentrate on prayer because he suffered a lot from headaches. And Reb Mendel said, what does the head have to do with prayer? Prayer is with the heart, not with the head. Now, the Tanya talks about how the intellect dominates over emotions. That's the way it should be. That emotions are a source of energy that can be directed both in a positive way and in a negative way. For example, you direct anger towards other people, it's negative. If you direct anger towards injustice that you're trying to fix in the world or in society, that's a healthy thing within measure, which means that all emotions can be directed either positively or negatively. Now, most emotions are self-centered. That's detrimental to our ruchnius, and therefore we must use our intellect to turn our emotions away from physical desires in unhealthy ways towards spiritual concerns. But prayer is more natural to us. It may seem self-centered, but it's not self-centered. Here, self-centeredness is not a negative thing. You're praying, of course, you think about Klal Yisrael, you think about your loved ones, you think about anyone who's suffering to help them, but you, part of tefillah is indeed bakashas tzarachav, asking for your own needs. And by turning to Hashem, because I'm saying you're the only one I could trust, you're the only one I could turn to, I need you. That seems self-centered, but over here it's a healthy thing because you're showing you're dependent on Hashem for everything. And when you dive into Him, you're testifying that you believe in Hashem. So you could pray with your heart. Don't worry too much about your intellect messing it up. For example, a child, right? A child asks for ice cream before dinner, even cries. A wise parent will say it's not good for you and will feed him regular food. Later, he may give the ice cream to the parent, to the child. Same thing over here. You could ask Hashem for things that you feel you need and you want like a child. Sometimes Hashem may delay it or not give it to you right away or hold back something because it may be detrimental to you, no matter how much you plead for it. But the idea is you keep on davening and you keep on praying. Another lesson he brings down, it's really connected to tshuva more than to prayer, is that self-bashing is not tshuva. The Magen Amizrich said that, he said it in Yiddish, a kleina lechala in the guf, machta groisa lechala in the neshama, which means that causing a small damage to the body can create a great damage to the soul. Therefore, the Magen Amizrich, who was the primary Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, discouraged in indulgence in self-imposing self-fast days. He felt that one shouldn't do that. Now, there are svarim that talk about it, about volunteer fasts to forgive your sins, but our weakened stamina makes it unhealthy, and this hanhaga stopped. You don't encourage excess fasting beyond what you're required to by Jewish law. One reason that they may have done this is because people were mistaking fasting as being the essence of repentance. Real tshuva is soul-searching, discovering why one was vulnerable to commit a particular sin, to eliminate those traits, to try to improve. Reb Mendel Kutzk once said that, "I cannot consider fasting on Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av to be holding a pain, because on Yom Kippur, who would want to eat? And on Tisha B'Av, how could a person eat?" So the idea is, also another one way to put it is, you're fasting when you, let's say, sinned with your eyes by looking at improper things. So you do tshuva by being careful going forward not to look at those improper things. Look only in Kedusha. You sinned with your ears by listening to Lashon Hara, gossip, or evil speech. You do tshuva by using your ears not to listen to that, but listen to Divrei Torah. You sinned with your tongue by speaking lies or deceiving people or Lashon Hara. So you do tshuva with your tongue by speaking good things going forward and words of Torah. So why are you fasting to punish your stomach that didn't participate in these sins that were pertaining to your eyes or ears or tongue? The Chofetz Chaim said that a tainis dibber, holding you back from speaking, is far more superior than abstaining from food, because you keep silent the whole day, you'll realize you can function well even without verbal communication, and you'll be able to guard your speech more. Doesn't mean you become a hermit, that's a separate discussion, but it means you could be very controlled in the way you talk. And guarding one's tongue from speaking a lie or Lashon Hara does more for one's spiritual growth than going hungry for that day. Because that behavior of watching how you speak or watching your eyes does not damage the body and does a lot for the neshama. So this is a very important concept. Number one, have bitachon while you pray. Number two, it's not self-centered to pray about your own needs. It's important to do so. It develops a connection with Hashem. Number three is women in particular have a bini yaseira, which are connected to prayer in a special way. And yes, you need to use your intellect not to control your emotions, that it doesn't go to unhealthy places. But women have this bini yaseira to be able to use their emotion in a way to direct it to Hashem in a healthy way. And to recognize not to pain yourself by excess fasting or torturing yourself in any way when you want to do tshuva. You do it in a sweet, healthy, direct, healthy way. You could speak less as a tshuva when you're doing tshuva for Lashon Hara. You could watch your eyes better. But the fasting, the excess fasting or tormenting your body is not healthy. The healthy balance of taking care of your body the right way, that is the best way to go. And no matter how much you want to do tshuva and how you do tshuva, don't hurt yourself by it, not physically and not spiritually, even not physically. Don't let yourself get weak from excess fasting or holding yourself back from the normal, healthy balance of life. Bracha v'atzlacha.